Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained. Yeah, it's a great honor to have you on the show tonight. Welcome, Deepak Chopra.
Thank you.
Yes, this is Uri.
Hi, Uri. It's Nicole Whitney calling News for the Soul. Welcome to News for the Soul, Robert Allen.
Thank you, Nicole. It's great to be here with you tonight.
Why are you here? We're talking to Carolyn Mace about Sacred Contracts, one of her many best-selling books. Welcome to the show, Greg Braden.
Well, good evening, Nicole. It's certainly a pleasure to hear your voice and a pleasure to be here tonight.
Welcome to the show, Stuart Wild.
Thank you very much.
John Kehoe, welcome to News for the Soul.
Hey, how are you?
Next up, Dr. David Morehouse.
I'm so glad that you called me because you are doing such an important...
It's time for Empowered Hearts with Shannon Hart. After overcoming significant trauma, Shannon studied many forms of healing, working as a registered nurse for 13 years. She's passionate about helping you. Please welcome Shannon Hart back to News for the Soul.
Hi, everybody. You have Shannon Hart here with Empowered Hearts Mentoring. I hope you guys are having a great day. We are into our second month of 2021, and I hope everybody is surviving so far. Lots of exciting changes on the horizon, so I'm really excited to be able to be here with you today to start a fresh year and start really getting into the nitty-gritty of what we took away from 2020 and what we're going to be looking for in 2021. What can we not accept about how our lives were in 2020? What were the gifts that came out of 2020 that helped us be able to look at our lives a little bit more and figure out what's working, what's not working, and be able to really look at some of the stuff that's really difficult sometimes to look at? Looking at ourselves, looking at our lives, our relationships, how we see the world, our perspectives, everything about it. Like I said in my last call, 2020 was really one of those years that gave us awareness, gave us perspective, gave us a lot of things in our face that weren't necessarily comfortable, but enabled us to be able to wake up and actually see the things that weren't working in our lives, maybe things that we pushed aside or things we were in denial about or things we were just coping with or putting up with and realizing that it wasn't okay to tolerate it anymore. So today I want to talk to you guys about something that's been something that I've been struggling with for pretty much all of my life that I realized I didn't want to tolerate anymore and kind of bring you on my journey with where I am with it. And that topic today is body acceptance. So a year ago, I did a boudoir session, and that leads into some of the things that I realized about myself as I've gone on my body acceptance journey. So a little over a year ago, I met up with one of my friends for a lunch, and we hadn't seen each other for a while, and I'd been talking to her. Unfortunately, I was sexually assaulted by my Reiki instructor a year prior to that, and I was finally just opening up to her about the effects on that, and I, she was very open and honest and able to meet me where I was. She supported me emotionally. But one of the things that she told me that was that and suggested that I do was a boudoir session, which in my head at the time, a boudoir session was something that you did for a partner where you dress in sexy lingerie and put on lots of makeup and look really sexy. And it was the furthest thing from my mind doing something like that to look sexy or have my body be exposed to a camera to somebody I didn't know. It really was like the last thing that I ever thought that I would do, especially after having gone through something so traumatic and feeling very uncomfortable in my own skin. It was really the last thing that I thought I wanted to do. But she implored me that it was something that she had done, and her own issues with body acceptance really had been part of her struggle for most of her life as well. And so she implored me to look into it, and she really was really impassioned about talking about the woman who had she had done the session with, because she said, you know, it's not really to her that the girl's name was Star. It's not really about looking a certain way or having the right makeup or the right lingerie or the lighting or your body looking a certain way or being a certain size. It really was what it came down to was body acceptance, and something that Adriana had struggled with, and I'm sure most women have struggled with, is accepting their body as it is. And she said, you know, this woman really gets it, and she's not there to make you look perfect. She's there to make you look like you and help you have an experience where you're going to be vulnerable, but be open and, you know, loving of your body. So I thought about it, and after a little bit of time, I decided, you know what, I'm going to call Star, and I'm going to just have a consult with her, which honestly was one of the best decisions I'd ever made in my life. The consult that I did was basically a therapy session, and it really was something that I had never thought that I would experience. I clicked with her right away. I basically just verbal diarrhea all over her, told her everything about my life, my upbringing, being bullied for being chubby, having an eating disorder, my sexual abuse. It all just came coming out, and she was just really able to hold space for me and listen to me and honor where I was and honor where I was in my body acceptance journey. Like, I mean, I felt that either I should be a perfect body or I should be perfectly accepting of my body where I was. And that really wasn't what the point of the consult was. And that's really not the point of what the actual session is either. But she really listened to me, and it was so powerful just having somebody sit there and just let me talk, and like a complete stranger. And it was just exactly what I needed in that moment to be able to feel heard and to feel seen. And we started talking more about women's struggles with body image and how the media has really conditioned us not to accept our bodies. And it actually really turned into a bit of a vigilante speech where we wrote at midnight, you know, talking about the struggles that women have and the pressure that we have to look a certain way. And, you know, she's just not having any of it. You know, she genuinely loves women's bodies however they come. And that is her mission and her goal in life, is to help us as, you know, individuals see what she sees when she looks at, you know, female bodies. And, you know, needless to say, like I signed up on the spot. It was an amazing experience. And like I said, it was the best decision I'd made in a long time. The boudoir session itself was fantastic. I am very conservative when it comes to my body. I'm sure most women can relate to this, you know, going on the beach. You know, I want to be covered up. I don't really want to expose my body. I feel like everybody's looking at it. And it was really amazing. We went as fast and at the pace that I needed to go for, you know, revealing certain parts of my body or wearing, you know, clothes in layers where I would, you know, be able to, dressed in a certain way and then, you know, slowly reveal a little bit more. And it just was really, really empowering. I am always inspired by people who are truly living out their passion. And it was really obvious to me that Star was doing exactly that. So she's, you know, a bit of a tomboy, she would say about herself, you know, and she's not the typical glam photographer, but she knows how to make the camera work for you. And so, it was just, you know, a really rewarding experience to be able to go through that with somebody who's living her passion and be able to be vulnerable with somebody and, you know, expose that part of yourself. And it's not even just about the exposing, it's about the feeling behind the exposing and, you know, realizing that, you know, you're doing this for you. I wasn't doing this for a partner. I was doing this for myself. I was doing this to empower myself to feel what I, you know, I wanted to feel vulnerable, but powerful at the same time. And it just was a really amazing experience. And many of this woman's spokesmodels are plus size. And the message she's trying to share with the world is that, you know, we need to love our bodies, you know, what matter, no matter what shape or size that they are. And, you know, she's really making a difference. You know, there's, she has tons of followers, and it's, she's created a space where women can build each other up. And, you know, she's carving out a path where, you know, we are more accepting of our bodies regardless of what anybody else says. And, you know, women, we feel, I think a lot of the times that women feel that it's men that are, you know, creating this atmosphere of, you know, we have to look a certain way. And it's really, I think women are doing it to themselves. You know, we are creating this pressure on ourselves to look a certain way. Most guys that I've dated don't really care, you know, if I've got a big booty, if anything, they love it. So really the pressure that we're putting is on ourselves. Body acceptance is something that I've struggled with my entire life. Being put on a diet when I was in first grade, and having to eat grapefruit when, you know, my sister was eating cake, it really did a lot to my psyche, and it really told me that there was something wrong with me, that I had to be treated differently than, you know, my sister did. And that basically just affected me from the get-go. You know, from such a young age, I'm being taught that, you know, my size, you know, obviously I was a bit chubby and my mom was worried about my weight. And she was just doing the best that she could. She, you know, she was concerned about, you know, being me being bullied about it, which of course I was. You know, I don't think any chubby kid, you know, gets out alive of elementary or junior high without, you know, a few scathing remarks. And, you know, it was pretty ruthless at times. And my mother herself, having gone through her own being overweight and having issues with eating, and she'd actually had her stomach stapled when we were quite young in an attempt to lose weight. So, you know, she, in her attempt to prevent me from falling into the same patterns that she had, like from a young age of overeating, you know, she was trying to do the opposite and protect me in a way. But, you know, obviously it was well-meaning, but not done in a healthy way. It, like I said, you know, seeing that I was being fed different things than my sister and the rest of the family just told me that there is something wrong with me, you know, and that's not okay. I'm hoping that parents, you know, kind of recognize now what that did, you know, and I think we as this generation, you know, because that, you know, I also grew up with a father who was from a finish your plate kind of mentality. And so I had both of them, you know, kind of fighting amongst each other, like how I should eat my food. And it's completely ignoring the fact that I should be able to tell if I'm full or if I'm hungry. And that's something that we've really as a society gone away from. We're not listening to our body cues. We're eating what we think we should eat. We are eating however much a different, you know, guideline is telling us that we should be eating, instead of actually tuning in and figuring out, okay, what is my body craving? Like, what does it want to eat? How much should I eat? You know, I should stop when I'm full, you know, and we just completely ignore these body cues, and we go based on what intellect is telling us instead of what our actual body is telling us. And that's part of the problem. But, you know, we just did the best that we could. And as a child, I just did the best that I could at the time. But like I said, I knew that I was different and I knew that there was something wrong. You know, as a child, and that's basically the mentality that I had my entire, you know, leading into my entire adulthood. So, you know, media and pressure and, you know, pressure from ourselves and being bullied, like I said, really add to all of that. Like, we were just fighting a losing battle, essentially. So it's a real challenge for anybody, I think. And part of the issue is the scrutiny, you know, like we grow up watching female celebrities, you know, and not just like looking a certain way, but like when celebrities are chastised for gaining weight or for losing weight. And it's just, you know, once we see all the scrutiny on others, like we just turn it on ourselves. And so that's where a lot of the unhealthy behaviors really stems from. Nobody really notices if you gain 5 pounds, but you feel like a target when you're out in public and, you know, you believe everybody's watching. So it's really not a healthy way to be. The focus that we give our actual weight instead of our actual health is a big part of the problem as well. You know, like focusing on scales and measuring tape and food portions, you know, it's all taking away from the relationship that we should be having with our bodies, which, you know, when it comes to food, is we should be eating for nourishment. We should be eating for enjoyment, but not, you know, as a way of, you know, checking out or for filling up our feelings if we feel empty, or, you know, using it as that sort of process. You know, we should be eating because it fuels our body, and, you know, we should be exercising because it our body wants to move, not because it's, you know, to keep weight off or to eat certain foods we need to exercise. You know, that's stemming into a lot of unhealthy behaviors. Unfortunately, I have stumbled into many of the unhealthy eating patterns. And it turned into a full-blown eating disorder by the time I was in my late 20s. And like I said, I'd always struggled with my weight. And so I'd always basically been at war with the food that I was eating. And I grew up in a tumultuous kind of household. And so when that came to a head, when my parents got sick with their illnesses and then with their subsequent passings, you know, I used it as a form of control. And that's what eating disorders really come down to, is a form of control. I couldn't control what was happening in my life. I couldn't control my parents' declining health. I couldn't control the behaviors that, you know, my mom with her mental illness was suffering from. But, you know, I could control what went in my mouth. And so that was really what that became, was, you know, as my stress increased, you know, and I felt like I was completely unable to function in life, you know, one thing that I did have control of was the food. And so that became something that I hyper-focused on, because it was the only thing in my life that I felt like I could manage. And so under the guise of being healthy, this is what I told myself, you know, like I slowly started eliminating whole food groups based on, like, you know, whatever fad diet that came out. You know, like, it was like, okay, I'm not eating dairy, I'm not eating carbs, I'm not eating fruits, I'm not eating starchy vegetables, you know, anything that seemed to be maybe a target for why I was, you know, struggling with my weight. I even became obsessed with, you know, I went down that whole rabbit hole. You know, I started becoming obsessed with, okay, well, maybe it's my thyroid or maybe it's my adrenals. And so I started eliminating, you know, nightshade vegetables, and, you know, it just became obsessive and toxic and unhealthy. And, you know, I had no idea. I was in complete denial what was going on. You know, everybody else really knew what was going on except for me. And it's interesting, because I don't think I've ever really fully been in denial before that came up. And when I've seen other people be in denial about certain situations in their lives, I was like, how can they not see that? How can they not understand what they're doing? And, you know, once I realized that I had an eating disorder, I was like, oh, okay, I get it. I get how you can be in denial about something. And, like, I had really, truly never understood how you could be in denial about anything before. I thought people must know what they were experiencing, and that they just couldn't verbalize it to themselves or to other people. They were putting up a front, and I was definitely doing that. There's definitely a little tiny part of me that knew what I was doing was not healthy. But my need to control and my need to look a certain way, my need to be a certain size, completely steamrolled any tiny little voice that might be saying, you know, like, oh, this doesn't feel good. You know, like I was exhausted all of the time. I had to push myself to work out. I was relying on stimulants to get through the day. I had a busy job as a nurse. And so, like, I would get through that on, you know, not enough calories. And then I would push myself to go for a run after and wonder why I could only jog, you know, like a few kilometers, beat myself up about that. It was just insane. It was toxic. It was awful. And I never want to be back there again. ever. It was basically like I was surviving on kale and chicken. That was the only two things I really allowed myself to eat. And this was in an attempt to look a certain way. It was what, you know, on the premise that it was healthy, you know, that it was healthy to fast, or it was healthy because of this diet. It was, you know, people maybe lost weight, but that doesn't mean that it's healthy. And in my head, that was the gold standard. All I cared about was losing weight. And so it took a long time to get myself out of that. And like I said, the first step was even realizing that I had a problem, because I didn't realize that I had a problem. And just as a disclaimer, you know, if anybody's listening and they are currently experiencing what I've just described, I really urge you to seek, you know, professional help. I think I'd been relying on my friends a little bit too much, and, you know, my peers to try and help me get out of it, because, you know, as women, we all kind of go through eating, you know, issues with eating. But it really wasn't until I sought out professional help that I got anywhere. I just, you know, went along, you know, thinking, okay, once I realized I had a problem, like, oh, okay, I can fix this. You know, I can figure this out. But, you know, I struggled alone with that for way too long. If anybody is listening and they you know, they need help, please reach out. You're welcome to contact me, and we can kind of discuss, you know, on a pro bono basis, because it's not my specialty, but it's definitely something that I have experience in. We can kind of discuss, and I can just hold space for you while you talk about it. But like I said, I'm definitely not qualified to professionally counsel anybody along with when it comes to eating disorders. There are great support resources out there that you can look up, but I, like I said, I really recommend anybody who's struggling with this that you reach out to somebody who does this professionally, because you don't need to be doing this for as long as I did. You know, it really, I'm 36 now, and like I'm just starting to feel like I'm eating in a way that's mostly healthy. I'm still not perfect, but I went a long way too long with it. So a professional really helped me overcome a lot of the things that I've been dealing with a lot faster than what I would have done on my own. And nobody needs to go through that. Nobody needs to be suffering with that any longer than they need to. So that's just my disclaimer, is that what I really was missing when it came down to it all, when you boil down to it, you know, it wasn't about my body, it wasn't about the food, it wasn't about the exercise or this, you know, it was about acceptance. It really boiled down to acceptance, and acceptance is where I was at, you know, even if I was overweight, just accepting that this is where I'm at, and that's okay. And that is really the toughest part of the journey. I'm still not 100% accepting of my body, and I don't know if I ever will be, but it's something that I'll probably be working on most of my life, and just I think a lot of women do. I was punishing my body. I was not loving her. I was punishing her for not looking a certain way. You know, how could I accept my body if it was overweight? And this is kind of where I think sometimes we get stuck, because we know if we're overweight that it's not quote-unquote healthy, you know, and as a nurse, I know the risks of being overweight. I've seen the diabetes, I've seen the heart disease, I've seen patients, you know, come into my departments, you know, having, you know, direct acute responses to a lot of it being overweight, you know, short of breath, not being able to, you know, the medications, everything. And so for me, I was really, you know, I wasn't just looking a certain way. I also didn't want to be overweight, because I knew that there was health risks associated with that. And, you know, anybody listening who worries about their weight because of that, you know, it's absolutely a valid concern, but you're not going to get anywhere unless you accept where you are at that moment. And it doesn't mean that you have to be that weight forever. It doesn't mean that you have to be eating unhealthy forever. It doesn't mean, you know, you don't have to exercise. You know, acceptance does not mean that it has to be that way forever. It just means that it's okay that it's that way right now. You know, that's really what I needed. I needed to just accept myself as I was. And what I needed was to tell myself that I was okay where I was. And one of the things that, you know, ironically, with this boudoir session, you know, there was a group of women associated on a Facebook page about like loving their bodies. And, you know, there's all sorts of sizes, all sorts of shapes, you know, people with cancer who had mastectomies, you know, every walk of life, every shape, every color, you know. And as I was watching it, you know, these women loved their bodies. You know, they celebrated their lumps and bumps and everything. You know, and to me, that was a foreign language. You know, like I couldn't understand how, you know, women who were, you know, very, very overweight could love themselves. It was like a foreign concept to me because I'd always been conditioned, obviously, that being overweight was wrong. And again, going into healthcare and being taught all of the, again, more, you know, conditioning that, you know, being overweight is unhealthy and it's going to cause diabetes and, you know, heart attacks and all of that stuff and strokes. It really was something that had been foreign to me. Like, you know, these women love themselves and they don't really give a shit. Part of my language that, you know, they're overweight. They just are celebrating themselves as they are. And they had no intentions to change. They had no intentions to lose weight or to get healthy, which is, you know, in my head, I felt like, okay, it's fine that they love themselves, but, you know, is there any plan for them to, you know, get healthy? Like, that's where I was. And I really just didn't get it at all. And joining this group was, it just dawned on me, like, you know, in order to really get where I needed to be, I had to accept myself where I was. And part of it was, you know, again, I kind of went into not accepting myself because I didn't accept myself. You know, I was actually jealous of, you know, some of these women who were bigger than me, even though I was really desperate to lose weight. I was jealous of these women who were quite a bit larger than me because they didn't care what they looked like. You know, they loved themselves, you know, and Lizzo is, I think, like a great example of that. Like, you know, in pop culture now, like she does not give a shit. You know, she loves herself and she doesn't care who knows it. And it's really inspiring because that was really the missing puzzle piece for me was accepting myself where I was. And you know what? Sometimes that means that, you know, I had to accept that I didn't accept where I was. I had to be okay that I wasn't okay. Like I said, I was really jealous of the women who were larger than me. Like I said, because, you know, I was desperate to lose weight and I was, you know, hating my body. And they fully and completely loved themselves and I was nowhere near it. So that was just like a light bulb going off in my head. And I was just like, I had to accept myself that I, you know, I wasn't really happy with being the size that I was at. And, you know, that's okay. It's okay that I didn't like the size that I was at that time. I can always make the changes and improve. I honestly thought part of the accepting was, you know, resigning myself to this is how it is and this is my body and I just have to, you know, suck it up. And, you know, that's really not necessarily what it means. It's finding your happy wherever that might be. It's loving yourself wherever you're at. And, you know, in order to make real lasting change, that's the first step, you know. It's, you know, with any ordeal that you might face in life, you know, if you're going through a divorce or, you know, if you're having addictions or, you know, whatever struggle or if there's death in the family, you know, it's not, you're not truly making change. You might be getting through, you might be powering through, you might be going on pure willpower. But if you don't accept where you're at, you're not really going to make lasting change because you can only survive on willpower for so long. You know, if you're making an, you know, with, I think losing weight and addiction have really similar characteristics in that you can kind of survive, you know, either not, you know, giving into the fix, or, you know, not giving into, you know, maybe eating unhealthy food. You can survive on eating healthy for a little while, but it's all going to come crashing down unless you accept yourself. So that's really what accepting means, is being whatever stage you're at, whatever size you're at, you know, whatever house you're living in, whatever car you're driving, is accepting that's where you're at. It doesn't mean that's where you're necessarily going to end up. If you have goals and aspirations, and by all means, please have goals and aspirations, you know, if that's something that's really fueling you. But it has to be something that comes from within, that you want to be a certain way, not because you feel other people will accept you if you do look a certain way. And that's obviously the trick, right? It doesn't mean you have to keep the things as they are. It just means you surrender to the fact that you are where you are. For me, I was happiest, you know, at a size 10. You know, I get to eat mostly healthy with treats, and, you know, I don't have to be a slave to the gym, but, you know, I can move my body and eat right most of the time. And for me, that works. I think at my thinnest, I was maybe like a size 8, you know, but I was dying to get there. And if I eat mostly well and exercise, you know, most of the time, you know, not perfect, you know, I'm a size 10 and I'm okay with that. That's where it is, you know, and that's where my body's at. And, you know, I'm not happy being a size 14. And you know what, when I get to be a size 14, I'm okay that I'm not okay at that. That's been my biggest, I think, aha moment, is that it's okay to not be okay. It's this paradox, like, you know, you see bigger women and you see that, you know, they're accepting of themselves, and you feel sad that you don't accept yourself where you're at. And, you know, that's part of the struggle, is accepting that you're not okay. One of the books that really helped me shift my focus on how I see my body, and it's not a typical health or, you know, weight loss book or, you know, food book. It was actually called The Mastery of Love by Don Miguel Ruiz. He's the same author as The Four Agreements, if you guys are familiar with that. So in that book, he talks about, he compares our bodies basically to being a faithful dog. He says, you know, like, just like a faithful dog would do, our bodies basically do whatever our brains tell them to do. You know, we tell it when to get up. We tell our bodies to go to work. We tell our bodies to eat the food that we're giving it, whatever that is. And, you know, a lot of the times that, you know, sometimes can be not healthy, you know, but our bodies will take the food that it's given, and it'll turn it faithfully into energy, you know, regardless of if we're feeding it like garbage. And, you know, it'll just, you know, use the calories as it is and store the calories as it is. And just like a faithful puppy, you know, it's like, okay, well, I guess, you know, you're eating more because you need more energy. So we're just going to store this for later because we love you. And that's what we think it's, you know, what you need. It accepts us when we abuse it. It accepts us when we ignore it, and accepts us when we shame it, or when we tell it that we wished it looked different. You know, it's always with us. It's still processing the nutrients that we need. It's still allowing us to do what we need to do in life. It loves us no matter what. And, you know, that's really like a faithful dog would do. And it really, like I said, when I read that, like, it was just a paradigm shift for me. And it was like, oh my gosh, like, I have been torturing this body for years, and it has loved me no matter what. You know, it still lets me get up and go to work and earn a living. It still breathes for me. It still processes the nutrients. It's still doing everything that I needed to do in order to function and to survive. And I've been treating it like garbage. I've been feeding it garbage. I've been telling it garbage with my brain. Every time I look in the mirror, I'm telling it doesn't look the way I want it to look. It's not okay. And, you know, I had to get over some of the anger and guilt and shame that I had for feeding my body all of this garbage, because, you know, that was where a lot of the hurt came from. That's where a lot of the trauma stemmed from, is the shame and guilt of doing that, and forgiving myself for it. You know, I was just trying to fit into society. I was just doing what my mom thought was the right thing to do. I was doing the things that I thought was the right thing to do. And I really had to forgive myself on that. And it was a really long ordeal and journey, and I'm still not done. And I'm way further than what I was, but it was hard. And, you know, recognizing that this entity, this body loved me no matter what. It still did the things that it, you know, wanted it to do. You know, if our bodies really were pets, you know, and if we treated our pets the same ways that we treat our bodies, you know, like our it would be taken away so fast. You know, if you mistreat an animal, it goes, you know, it's taken away from you. If you mistreat a child, it's taken away from you. But, you know, the way that we abuse our bodies, you know, if we could be put in jail for it, we would deserve it, because that's how I was treating my body, was, you know, I was abusing it. It was cruelty. And I had no idea. You know, I've hated my body at times, and, you know, I've stared in the mirror and only seen the flaws. And, you know, it still showed up for me every day. It still allowed me to do everything that I needed to do. And that was a real game changer for me. That was a shift for me. I really vowed after that I was not going to treat my body the way I'd been treating it. And I kind of look at it as this faithful animal, because it doesn't know any better, right? It doesn't know that you're eating a bag of chips because you're sad. It doesn't know that you're starving yourself because you want to get into a certain dress. It doesn't understand any of that, right? Just like a dog would not understand certain things that you're trying to tell it to do. It just faithfully does obediently the things that you put into it. And, you know, I cried tears when I realized how abusive I'd been to her. And I did kind of shift in calling it my body her, because it helped me associate it as an entity that I have. You know, I'm not my body, but, you know, I have a body. And I felt like in order to really get through to the part of me that I wanted to interact and connect with, you know, I needed to kind of dissociate from my body a little bit and treat it as a separate entity. And, you know, like, just like you would treat a friend a certain way, you would treat your friends better than you treat yourself sometimes. You know, that I kind of had to turn that on myself with my own body. You know, would I feed, or, you know, and using that analogy, you know, like, if you had a pet that you loved, you know, would you feed that pet Cheese Whiz? You know, would you feed it stuff that's not healthy for it, like, you know, or would you feed it the food that it needs to be in optimal health, to be happy, to be healthy, you know, to have a shiny coat, to have strong muscles? You know, would you exercise it, or would you leave it in the house? You know, and really, that really started helping me shift how I saw my body. You know, it wasn't me, it was an entity. And, you know, I'm really working on, from that day forward, I was really going to start treating her differently. I was going to start feeding her for nourishment, not to stuff down my feelings or to starve her so that she could look a certain way, so she could be a certain way in the dress that I wanted to wear. You know, I got her real food, and I started listening to her. That was the other thing. Like I said, we don't listen to our bodies, but I started listening to her and figuring out, like, what did she crave? And, you know, sometimes it seems strange that, you know, oh, I want chocolate. Well, maybe there's a reason I want chocolate. You know, maybe I've been stressed out, and maybe there's some chemicals in this chocolate that my body wants, you know, and listening to those signals. And, you know, if I really wanted fruit, like what I've been denying myself for, you know, years because of the sugar content, maybe she wanted fruit, you know, and just giving that to her. And, not restricting the calories, you know, not being at war with her. Like, that's the thing. Like, I've been at war with my body for so long. And, you know, she didn't look right, or she had, like, you know, she was too big in the butt and, you know, too round in the stomach, and, you know, whatever it was that I didn't like, or, you know, my nose was too this, or My hair was that. I just got over it. I was just tired of being at war. And, you know, instead of, you know, like working against her, I was like, why don't we work together and work for each other? That was a big change. I was no longer at war with her. She was my friend. She wasn't somebody that I had to fight. And so, like, you know, I would move her every day because that's where she performs her best at, you know, and I would do yoga. I would do exercise that was best for my body and not because it helped me lose weight. You know, I stopped jogging so incessantly because it was a weight loss thing. It was like, did she feel like going for a jog or did she feel like stretching? You know, did she feel like going for a swim or, you know, and just tuning into that. And I think it's something we've been so disconnected from. You know, and I was far from accepting, you know, everything. You know, I still didn't like how my butt looked. I still didn't like how thick my thighs were. I still didn't like it. And to be honest, I still don't really care for it. But, you know, it was a massive shift from where I was. I knew I had a long way to go. And I knew that I needed help with it. But I also knew that I could never go back to disrespecting her or shaming her ever again. Like I said, in my head, I feel like she is like a faithful pet that, you know, does the commands that I feed it and tell it to do. And I'm never treating her that way again. Like I said, I knew I couldn't do it alone. I knew I had a terrible relationship with food, and I knew that I needed to mend that relationship. I couldn't see food as the enemy. I couldn't see my body as the enemy. And so what I needed to do was I needed to nurture a healthy relationship with both of them, you know, and I knew that it would take time. I was a little bit impatient, not going to lie. I just kind of wanted this paradigm shift to magically make everything perfect. And I was going to eat perfect from now on and, you know, accept everything as it was. And, you know, it's not like that. You know, sometimes I do have the bag of chips and I still beat myself up about having the bag of chips. And I still beat myself up about not accepting my body exactly as it is. And you know what? That's okay. I just get up and do the best that I can. And like I said, remember that this is, you know, it's teamwork. You know, and in times of stress, you know, sometimes, yeah, like I do. I have the chocolate or the chips or the cookies or the cheese. You know, and like I think the best foods in the world start with C, obviously. But you know, like the COVID-19, you know, is real on around my love handles. But, you know, I think if anything, the gift of the pandemic with all of us, I think a lot of us can identify with weight gain during this time. I think a lot of us did. You know, we were bored, we were baking, couldn't go out, and so a lot of us, I think, gained weight. And instead of going through that same cycle of, okay, now I need to lose it, it's like, okay, well, why don't I just accept that, you know, I am bored, I can't go out, and maybe I would like to have a few more treats, and maybe I am eating a little bit out of boredom. But, you know, I feel that this collectively, we all kind of felt this, and I think all of us kind of are in the same boat. You know, a lot of us gained weight over the past year, and you know what, I think it's time to just let it go and just be like, you know what, that's okay. You know, it was a freaking hard year. Mentally, a lot of us were struggling. And you know what, if eating healthy and exercising isn't a top priority, if just surviving was the top priority today, then that's okay. Like I said, I think a lot of body acceptance just comes from acceptance in general. And if there is any, you know, silver lining from last year with the pandemic is that, you know, maybe we all can be a little bit more accepting of our bodies. Because, you know, I noticed that, you know, some of my other coworkers had put on weight too, and some that had, you know, been very strictly regimented with their weight. And, you know, just, it's okay. Like, just take a breath and be like, you know what, if all I did today was get out of bed and that was, you know, a lot of effort, then that's okay. You know, we all are where we're at. And, you know, I think if we support each other in being healthy and accepting and not, you know, engaging in this beating up of, you know, I'm not eating good, or I'm not, you know, exercising, and just saying, you know, it's okay. Like, it's not a big deal. You know, we're all there. I think that's the healthiest mentality to have, because I know I have some friends that have struggled with, you know, body image and eating disorders. And I think sometimes we feed each other the toxicity instead of feeding each other what we need to feed, which is, you know, acceptance. And it, recognizing that it's like a day-by-day thing, and recognizing that our body loves us and takes care of us and allows us to do the things that we want to do, you know, like our, you know, swimming in the ocean or watching the sunset or feeling hugs or, you know, oh my gosh, like when we can hug again, it is going to be amazing. Like, that's also a gift that our body gives us. Our body gives us touch. Our body gives us connection, and you know, there's so many beautiful things that our body gives us. Why are we focusing on this, on the shape or the size, right? Like, that's just something that I think we really need to focus on. And yeah, of course, like tasting the amazing food, like that's a gift. Being able to have wonderful meals, just, you know, really, really relishing in that, and you know, trying to, like, you know, love our body unconditionally, just as our bodies do us. You know, maybe we'll never get there 100% of the time, but it's definitely damn worth trying. You know, no more shame. You know, no more not accepting us, you know, for how we look. You know, because fully accepting yourself is, that's what's really going to lead you on the path, day by day. That is where we really are going to make the biggest changes, is in accepting ourselves and focusing on the things that our body does that fill us up and light us up and make us feel alive. You know, I think we just focus too much on things that aren't really that important, and learning to accept ourselves for what actually is important, which is, you know, enjoying life and feeling our senses the way that, you know, it was meant. You know, our bodies are more than just our butts. You know, our bodies are our eyes and ears and smells, and indulging in all of the amazing things that this world has to offer, and getting in touch with what our body can do for us. And that's where the real magic is. That is where we, I think, need to focus on. That's what I'm definitely going to be focusing on for this year, is less on what size my jeans are, but and more on what my body can do, and tuning into that. You know, like, if she does want to do yoga, you know, and exploring, like, all of those things that, you know, look at this, you know, even going for a few weeks, you can notice the difference with what your body can do. Focusing on that's the power. You know, that's the power of our bodies, you know, and like all of the amazing smells, like, you know, it doesn't have to be food. You can go out and smell flowers or, you know, perfumes or whatever you love about that, you know, going and looking visually at sunsets or, you know, nature, and hearing music and feeling things, you know, like that's where our bodies are, and that's the magic that our bodies can do for us. So I really think that that's what we need to be tuning in for. And like I said, it's going to be, I think, a long way for us to get there, but that's where society really needs to shift. We really need to stop looking at our bodies as a certain way and fitting into a certain package. And for some people, that might be being overweight, and that's totally fine. You know, like, that's, your body was going to be at whatever it wants to be. And just, you know, if you do your best to support it and give it the nourishment that it needs, and not stuffing down, you know, or overeating, because, like, I definitely struggled with that too, but actually eating what our body wants. And you know what, sometimes our body just wants chips, sometimes just our brain wants chips, and that's okay. You know, that's really okay. We don't have to, it's not a one size fits all. But really, if we are going to make changes in society, like, we need to really stop looking at what, you know, the commercials are giving us. We need to stop paying attention to ads and have skinny women in you know, lingerie and you know what? And that's okay if your body is skinny. That's the other thing is acceptance too. It's accepting all bodies as they are. I think a lot of women who are, you know, underweight really struggle with acceptance as well, because, you know, there's this pushback from, you know, women who, you know, if you're not eating right and you're a normal weight or underweight, you know, and you worry about gaining weight, and somebody who's bigger says, you know, you're thin, what are you worrying about? Like, it's okay to have, you know, body issues no matter what size you are. I think we just, and I think women are definitely going to be the ones who lead this movement, where we're not tolerating this crap anymore. I'm not going to tolerate somebody telling me what size I should look like or what food I should eat, and getting into supplements and diet pills and all of that stuff. And it's just not, it's not okay. And we need to make real big changes, but the change really starts with yourself and who you hang out with as well. Because if you're around a lot of people, and I recognize that for myself, if you're around a lot of people who are not body healthy and have that unhealthy, toxic kind of body image, you know, you're just going to absorb it as well. So being, you know, you are what you eat and you are who you're around. Recognizing that what you put in your body and who you surround your body with really contributes to how healthy your body actually is and the environment that it's in. And, you know, being in nature really makes a big difference. You know, your body craves being in nature, and it craves real food. You know, it, I think a lot of us think that we're eating healthy by eating packaged foods, but, you know, eating real food, like real fruits and vegetables, and, you know, the Mediterranean diet, I personally feel that's been my, I don't endorse anything specific, but, you know, I think most people can agree that anything in a package probably isn't the best thing to be eating, even if it's convenient, right? You know, if that's all you've got, that's the best thing you can do. That's great. We're all busy. But there are certain ways that you can eat healthy and not, you know, it doesn't have to take a lot of time. It doesn't have to take a lot of money. I really feel that we need it to start going forward in 2021. That needs to change. Yeah, it needs to change. A lot of things going on in society with food and body image and everything else. Like, I'm done with it. I'm over it. And a lot of women are. We're just done with it. Nobody gets to tell me what my body looks like. Nobody gets to tell me what to eat. I get to be in charge of that. I'm in charge of my body. And coming from a past with sexual abuse, like, that's another wound to add to the body shame and self-image and not feeling comfortable in the body. And but we need to make real lasting change, and women have put up with this crap for way too long. You know, men have their own issues, but I don't think that body issues are as much of an issue for them as it is for women. And, you know, I'm over it. we don't need this anymore. So it's something that we definitely need to be cognizant of, that we're not tolerating it anymore. For me, the line in the sand of 2020 is, like, you know, I there's so many things that I don't want to go back to. There's been lots of changes in the past year, and it's really opened my eyes to what I accept and what I don't accept. And one of the things that I don't accept is beating myself up for things that aren't necessary for beating myself up. And how I look is definitely one of those things. How, what my size is, what my shape is, what clothes I wear. No, not having it. And, you know, if there are people that are unhealthy and judge based on people, how they look, you know, I feel sorry for them. It's not, I don't want to fight them. I don't want to give them any energy. And I think that's the easiest way to kind of look at it. It's not giving them any energy. And just focusing inward and focusing on yourself and focusing on the love that you have for yourself and your body and the love that your body has for you. That's where I'm going to focus. I don't want to focus on the crap that I used to focus on anymore. I just want to focus on the love. So that's where I'm at. So I hope some what I said today was helpful for people. I hope that it struck a chord with the people that needed to hear it. Like I said, that if you